Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us live worldwide on Close Up Radio Live. It's a real pleasure to have you with us today. Thank you much for making us a part of your day. Also excited to welcome, coming to us live and direct from Bloomington, Minnesota, Karen Lawson. She is a revered keynote speaker, published author, consultant, and founder of IHWC Productions, LLC. She's a physician, board certified in integrative and holistic medicine, past president of the American Holistic Medical Association, now the Academy of Integrative Health and Medicine. She's a founding diplomat of the American Board of Integrative and Holistic Medicine and a founding board member of the National Board of Health and Wellness Coaching. Through IHWC Productions, Karen partners with organizations, healthcare facilities, and educational institutions to educate healthcare students, providers, consumers, and organizations about integrative health and wellness coaching, other approaches as well to advancing integrative healthcare. Karen's mission is to evolve our healthcare system into a more integrative and holistic one, advocating individuals' ability and willingness to take charge of their own health. Her invaluable work over two decades in training healthcare coaches has been a crucial factor in advancing this initiative and changing people's perception of their health and healthcare management. With unique perspectives that have arisen from work as a physician in primary care, emergency medicine, and integrative practice, as well as from being an innovating pioneer and educator in integrative health and well-being coaching, Dr. Lawson remains at the forefront of reform, committed to making positive change. Join us as you have an opportunity to become more informed and more inspired on this episode of Close Up Radio Live so you can advance your own optimal health and well-being. She's our guest today on this episode of Close Up Radio Live. Karen, welcome to the program. It's a real pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you, Jim. It's an honor to be here.
You're very welcome. You know, I like to sort of humanize our guests and make it more conversational. And in that vein, I'd like to know what inspired you to want to pursue healthcare, to pursue medicine, to pursue health and wellness and that whole mindset. What was it early on your own inspirational journey that kind of not only pointed you in the direction of doing the work, but got you to realize through maybe a couple of aha moments, this is not just work you want to do. This is work you have to do. It's an essence of who you are.
I like the way you put that, Jim. I wish I had the insight to say, oh, this is the way I planned it 35 or 40 years ago, but it certainly wasn't.
It doesn't always work that way, right?
You got to follow what the universe gives you. I always had an interest in kind of brain body, how the brain works, the mind. I was a biochemist and a physiologist through college and really was headed into research and actually did work in the world of kind of bench research and brain research and drug discovery for a few years. And actually, I just got tired of working on animals and feeling like this wasn't relevant. I really wanted to understand the brain of people. So I decided to go to medical school, always with the idea that I was going to be a researcher. And as I got into medical training, I really started recognizing from the inside how kind of what I call silo-ized, how broken up into pieces are our approaches to understanding the body, understanding human life, understanding health and healing was, and that really confused me. And so I really started looking for ways to kind of bring it all together because just intuitively that made more sense to me. And what I found in the 80s and the early 80s was, you know, the people that were still kind of what I call the old-time general practitioners, you know, the docs that took care of three generations of families and still did house calls. And those people really looked at health and healing and disease through a much more holistic lens. They considered the whole being, the person that was part of a family and a community. And that made sense to me. So I, went into family medicine really hoping to be able to approach life through more of that lens. But it was right about the time that family medicine was really coming into its own as a quote-unquote medical specialty in primary care and wanting to be recognized as very scientific and actually in the process of that giving up a lot of that more holistic approach that general practitioners used to have. So here, once again, I found myself now in this world of primary care trying to do what I consider to be overall general health care for individuals and finding myself very frustrated by a system that wanted me to see five or six patients an hour. I didn't have time to do anything but write a prescription. There was no time to educate. There was definitely not time to do regular follow-up with people to really help them move their health forward. And I found myself incredibly frustrated by that system. It just didn't logically make sense to me. So I started looking elsewhere. I started exploring how other places in the world, how other historical systems of health really took care of people, and discovered that most other systems of healthcare had a much more general whole view of people and illness and health and healing than our kind of westernized industrialized medical complex did. And that really inspired me to think there must be a better way to do this. And so I began a study of what it would now be considered more integrative medicine. At the time, it was kind of alternative and complementary healthcare. I studied a lot of approaches to mind-body practices, to meditation and stress management, other systems of care, including some work with traditional Chinese medicine, homeopathy, some other systems of care, and really left the world of conventional medicine with the idea that we could make things better by offering people the opportunity to access, in addition to what they needed from conventional healthcare, other approaches that may be more supportive of their overall well-being. And that's kind of what took me down that path.
I like that. That's a great way to have had that happen, that sort of inspired you on your journey to do this work. The Western or conventional biomedicine that we're talking about too on this episode, what is meant from your perspective by Western or conventional biomedicine, and how does it differ from many other systems of healing?
Yeah, and I'll answer that, and I want to make the disclaimer that I'm not dismissive of it. It's not bad. It's just incomplete. And so really what I would think of as Western biomedicine began evolving in the States in the, you know, early parts of the last century. And it really stemmed from our growing scientific understanding of things like bacterial infections, our ability, you know, our discovery and advancing of antibiotics, and really the increased scientific understanding of how systems and organs in the body worked, which is all good, and we want that, we need that. However, in the process, we brought a very, what I would call a reductionistic view to it, meaning we kept thinking like, well, if we can understand just what the heart does, right, then we'll understand how to take care of the heart and the body. And if we understand what the liver does, we'll do that. So we have all these different compartments, and you can see that even today in the practice of subspecialty medicine. You know, you've got somebody that specializes in the kidneys and somebody that specializes in the heart, and somebody that specializes in the knees. We break it all into pieces. And the reality is we are more than that, and we lose a lot of ability of helping people optimize their health when we break people all into pieces. And the scientific evolution of the last 100 years has really exemplified that, breaking everything down into smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller pieces. And so we still have a little bit of that mentality that came about in the World War II time of kind of one cause, one cure. So you have a pneumonia, it's from streptococcal bacteria, you take one antibiotic, it fixes the problem. For acute illnesses, that works pretty magically for a while. Unfortunately, most of where we are today is dealing with the burden of chronic persistent illness that's multifactorial, 80% of which is impacted by lifestyle choices. And so our approach of here, take a pill to solve this one targeted issue doesn't really apply to a lot of the situation that we are currently living in the culture and lifestyles that we have these days. So our learnings from scientific medicine, that approach of the mindset of you have a illness, let's diagnose it, we give it a label, we find the one pill or, invasive treatment that addresses it, and then you just keep going, ends up now meaning we often have people on multiple medications, sometimes for the rest of their life. We don't really address often the core underlying issues of why a person may have been susceptible to that illness or issue. We often neglect the mental, emotional aspects of the health issue, and don't really support people in addressing what lifestyle and behavioral changes they need to make themselves. So the Western biomedicine by itself doesn't really address where we are today. And so I don't want to throw the baby out with bathwater. I always tell my students, if I'm going to get in a car accident, I want to do it in the good old US of A, because we're really good in the golden hour of the first hour after major trauma. But if I'm living with a chronic illness, Western biomedicine by itself is probably not the approach I'm going to take.
Interesting, really fascinating too, because there is so much discussion about the benefits of integrative healthcare and some even holistic components that haven't always been acknowledged or appreciated. From your perspective, what is meant by integrative healthcare, and why do you consider it ideal?
Yeah. Well, what is meant by integrative healthcare, and this has been an evolving definition, I have to say, over the last 20, 25 years. One, it's person or client-centered, meaning, the individual is at the center of the care. It's relationship-based, so it's not just any doc that you walk in and see, but it is based in supportive relationships, usually with a team of providers, so you have a healthcare team. It takes into account not just your physical or even your mental symptoms, but also your emotional state, your relational issues, your environmental issues, your spiritual orientation, your ability to find meaning and purpose in your life. It's really looking at the greatest scope of your life's existence, including where you live and who you live in community with and what, is important to you in your life. So all of those things are very key. And then it does draw from the best of what we would call, Western or conventional healthcare. It doesn't eliminate the possibility of using medications or surgeries where they're needed, but it also brings in the possibility of approaches from other systems that may consider more the energetic realm, that may use more natural approaches to health and healing, including herbal and other similar kinds of approaches, acupuncture, hands-on healing, energetic healing. And so it really is bringing together, I think, the best of both worlds and empowering people to stand at the center of that care. So they're really the ones taking responsibility and calling the shots for what's important to them, what their priorities are, what their resources are, what their barriers are, what they need. And I think that that's the piece that we need to move forward if we're going to change so much of what's broken about our current healthcare system.
And there's a lot that is broken, absolutely, on so many different levels. Obviously, you decided to work, you know, training integrative and well-being coaches as well, sort of expanding and reaching into that realm of the teaching element and training element. Tell us about that work.
Well, that was a funny, unplanned path. As I said, I left, you know, kind of primary care, and then I did emergency medicine for a while, and then I did make the leap fully into doing integrative healthcare. And I was involved as the medical director of a startup. Actually, it was my second startup of an integrative health clinic in Western Michigan. And I had the, I guess at that point, somewhat innocent or delusional idea that because integrative providers spent more time with their patients, more time with their clients, they had a more holistic perspective, that issues that I had seen in conventional care would all be different. One of those big issues is the fact that as consumers, and we are raised to be healthcare consumers, we go to providers who are experts in their field, who evaluate us, who do an assessment of some kind, and then they either do something to us or they tell us what we need to do. And then we leave and we go on to live our life. And usually we don't do what they told us to do. Very often we don't. And we come back in 6 weeks or 6 months and we're kind of in the same place that we were before. I had watched that pattern extensively in primary care and in the emergency room, and I thought it would be different in integrative medicine. To some extent, it was better because people were seen more often, but there was still that pattern of here's an expert telling you what to do or doing something to you, and you're the passive recipient of care. And ultimately, it led to people still coming back over and over and over again for years often and not necessarily making the changes that need to happen. So I watched this happen, and at that point, the clinic that I was running had about 25 different providers that covered about 17 different kinds of approaches to healthcare, and I was still watching that pattern happen. So I had a colleague in Northern California at that time who was a nurse but who was also trained as an executive and life coach. And I asked her, I'm like, do you think that the things that you're doing in coaching in people's personal professional lives could be applied to healthcare? And she said, absolutely. It just really isn't being done yet. And this was in the late 90s. And I said, well, how about we figure out how to do that? Would you be willing to work with me on this? She was lovely. She's still a mentor and a good friend. And she actually came from California and stayed with me in Michigan for 3 months and trained my nurse practitioner and myself in core coaching practices. And then we tried to offer coaching at the healthcare clinic. And what I found was that the providers were resistant because they didn't understand coaching and they thought that the coaches would be competitive with them. So what we did was we said, all right, for 3 months, everybody that the coach sees is going to be for free. And we challenged all of the providers to pick their most difficult couple of clients that had been unable to make improvements in their disease situation and to refer them to the coach. And we would see them for free. So they all did it very much like we're going to prove to you that this isn't going to work. And it was fascinating. Within 6 weeks, people that had made changes in some things in 10 years were making changes. And the practitioners really started recognizing that the coach made their job easier and made it so that they could do what they like to do. They could be their expert in whatever their field or approach was. And then they could send the person down the hall to Nurse Coach Mary, who would help them figure out how to do the things that the practitioner had recommended. And so by the end of 3 months, Nurse Coach Mary was the busiest practitioner we had in the clinic. So that was a huge aha for me. Life evolved. Hospital made some changes. I decided to make a move from Michigan back to Minnesota to start teaching integrative health care at the medical school in Minnesota. And when I arrived here, had a number of conversations with leaders here around my experience with health coaching, and they really kind of threw down the gauntlet of, if you really believe that health coaching is a way to potentially change the healthcare system, then the only way that's going to happen is if somebody starts training health coaches, because there were no training programs at that point in the country for health coaches. So I put together a small developmental private grant, brought together a team of five other providers besides myself. We spent a year developing curriculum, and in 2005, we launched the first integrative health coaching training program at an academic center in the country. There were a couple of small corporate startups that are huge now, the first one of which was Well Coaches, and really started that work of training health coaches. And it really has become my professional direction, as I've recognized that I think that health coaches are really kind of the missing link in our healthcare system, particularly if we want to move in an integrative direction.
Which is so important, really is, on so many different levels. From your perspective, what is the difference between a health coach and a life coach? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's certain things that probably sort of weave in and out of each other as well.
Sure. And for most people, like there's a lot of training programs that most people are familiar with, the International Coaching Federation, which really focuses on life and executive coaching. I always kind of think of them like two umbrellas, with the health coaching being kind of a more inclusive, higher up umbrella. The approaches to coaching are the same. The principles of behavior change, the application of positive psychology, all of those things are the same in both fields. But the things that life and executive coaches are trained to address are also things, for the most part, that would be addressed by health and by health and well-being coaches. However, health and well-being coaches are also trained to really understand the interface of people who may be dealing with disease challenges, how the healthcare system works, what approaches in more integrative and complementary health approaches are out there that may be considered. And really, if you think about all of the aspects of well-being, which is kind of a higher umbrella, I think, than just health, we think about, our spiritual well-being, our emotional well-being, physical, relational, environmental, economic, all of those things. There really isn't any aspect of that a health coach, is not addressed, is not, I would say, trained to be comfortable to address. Whereas life coaches are usually a little bit more oriented to behavioral things that may be around a living choice, where they're going to be located, what kind of work they're going to do. Sometimes, managing habits, but not necessarily things as they're connected to their health. So I will say that executive coaches and some life coaches who work in the career world are more targeted and trained to help people with their professional choices and making career decisions, which really isn't the ballywick of health and wellness coaching. So there is a little bit of a kind of a Venn diagram overlap, with some different kind of different focuses. But for the most part, health and well-being coaches have all of the training that life coaches do and then some.
Absolutely. And again, it's really amazing to have an opportunity to share that with your clients. Also, how does a health coach differ from a dietitian or a nutritionist as well?
Yeah, a lot of people mistakenly think about health and well-being coaches as kind of being those lifestyle experts that are going to tell you what to do in the way of nutrition, exercise, sleep. Coaches are experts, or trained to be experts, in the process of behavior change. They are not trained to be experts in content areas of any aspect. They will have an overall idea of what a general healthy diet according to national guidelines, but they are not there to give specific recommendations or advice around particulars. So, for example, if a person is coming in and they're like, I really want to change my diet, I want to lose 20 pounds, I want to exercise more, the coach might recommend them to a nutritionist or a dietitian to get a particular diet plan, and then the coach would work on them on how would they like to implement that plan. What are the barriers? What are the resources they need? What accountability process? Excuse me. Some people are trained in both and may wear both hats, and that can be a very powerful combination. But the most important thing to understand is that for the most part, we think of all of our healthcare practitioners, whether they're dietitians or they're sleep specialists or they're physical therapists, they're experts in a content area, which health coaches are not. Health coaches are there to help people decide what's the most important to them, what are they interested in changing, what kind of support do they need to make that change, what kind of plan do they need to make that change, what resources and accountability do they need to make that change. They're not there to educate overall. We kind of consider when we define health and well-being coaching that your session needs to be at least 75% coaching and no more than 20 to 25% education. So certainly coaches have resources and understanding that can be very helpful to people, particularly I think in educating them around stress management, mind-body practices. But for the most part, coaches are not there as a content expert, whereas a dietitian or an exercise physiologist or a physical therapist or anything else, they're going to be experts in their field, and you see them to get told what to do, if that makes sense.
It does, yeah, on so many different levels. It's really extraordinary. How would one find a health coach to work with? How is it paid for? How does that all work?
Yeah, well, at this point in time, there are some people have health coaches as a benefit that's provided through their work health insurance. So I always tell people to start there if they're employed or they get their insurance through their employer, because often now that is one of the benefits that is available. For people who don't have that or it's not a benefit in their policy, and they're looking for a private pay coach, the National Board of Health and Wellness Coaching, which is nbhwc.org, has a listing that's both by zip code and by area where you can find a nationally board-certified coach. We have almost 11,000 nationally board-certified coaches now across the United States. That's an ongoing effort, and we're continuing to grow our ranks every year. And the large majority of coaching these days, particularly in the post-COVID world, is done, you know, via Zoom or via telephone. So it doesn't really matter if somebody is geographically accessible to you other than maybe the convenience of being in your time zone. Also, just as of this past year, HSAs, people's healthcare savings accounts can be used for coaching as long as you get a recommendation from your healthcare provider. So that is a great way to get reimbursed. Otherwise, it's a, you know, private pay out of pocket for people, but a very, very good investment in your own health care.
Real quick, because we're running out of time, and hopefully we'll be able to have you jump in back with us, hop on back on the show. Tell us about the consultative work that you do for your clients.
Yeah. My goal at this point is to work with organizations, whether those be academic organizations or corporate organizations, to either develop or improve health coaching training programs, particularly to make programs more integrative, because some health coaching programs are not very integrative. So I've worked with a couple of different schools to develop new programs. I'm also happy to work with organizations who would like to start offering health coaching services, but really don't know how to go about doing that. So how do we bring health coaching as a service line into our organization or for our employees? So any way that I can really help advance the field from a training standpoint or from an expansion standpoint is what I'm interested in doing. I'm getting the opportunity in September. For any of your international listeners, I will actually be doing a training in Prague, September 25th. In Europe, most of the coaches are trained as life coaches or executive coaches. They don't have a lot of health and wellness coaching. And so I'm going to be doing an all-day workshop about how to bring health and wellness approaches to people who are trained as life coaches. So I would be excited to have anybody in your listening area in the European market to consider joining us for that day in September.
Special guest on this episode of Close Up Radio Live is Karen Larson, highly sought-after keynote speaker, published author, consultant, and founder of IHWC Productions. She's a physician, board-certified in integrative and holistic medicine, past president of the American Holistic Medical Association, now the American Academy of Integrative Health and Medicine, a founding diplomat of the American Board of Integrative and Holistic Medicine, and a founding board member of the National Board of Health and Wellness Coaching. If you'd like to connect with Karen, you can go to her website. Of course, it's www.ihwcproductions.com. That's the letter I, then the letter H, the letter W, the letter C, and then the word productions.com. Karen, thanks for joining us on this episode of Close Up Radio Live. It was a real pleasure and very insightful, positive, eye-opening, and relatable. And hopefully we'll get a chance to explore some more together, maybe hear case studies, testimonials. And I hope you enjoyed the time with me as much as I have with you, Karen.
Great. Thanks for having me, Jim.
You're very welcome. Karen Larson here on Close Up Radio Live. Jim Masters here thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, this episode is recorded in its entirety and full, so you can hear the full episode archived. For all of us, stay right there. I'll be back in a few moments with another incredible guest celebrated right here exclusively on Close Up Radio Live. Till then, for all of us, do have a great day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.